Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Good afternoon. Great episode of UFC Unfiltered with Matt Serra and myself. We have Sergio Pettis calling in for the first time, and our pal Rashad Evans calls in again. And we talk about Mexico and what not to eat.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
UFC and digital media present UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Welcome, welcome. Now, I'm not sure if Matt wanted me to say this, but we have a new way of starting the show. And it's really great.
I actually told you not to say it.
Oh, I apologize. I,
you should know if I, you don't, you said you don't know if I want you to.
I thought it was a good way to get started. We did a high 10.
We sure did.
It looked fun.
We sure did. And what people don't know is that I initiated it.
That's right. That's two high fives at the same time. And I feel like it gets the energy really cooking in here.
I feel closer. I'm happy.
We have Sergio Pettis calling in today. We also have Sugar Rashad Evans. I'm looking forward to talking to them. I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
I've never talked to Sergio. So it's nice to have him on for the first time. Headlining the main card, UFC Fight Night, Pettis versus Moreno. He's fighting Brandon Moreno, number 6 against number 7. Mexico City, that is this Saturday, August the 5th, when I will be in the Borgata in Atlantic City. So you can do both of those things. Oh. You can come watch me perform and then go and watch this fight. It's a great night of entertainment, starting with them.
That Borgata is a nice hotel, let me tell you.
It's amazing. It's one of my favorite places in the world. And Alan Joban is fighting Nico Price, and also Sam Alvey against Rashad, which is why Rashad's calling in. That's a tough fight.
That's a good fight, though.
A great fight.
That's a really good fight. I like the matchup. I mean, Alvey's always in, he's always in it.
Yeah.
He's always in the fight, always smiling. He's going to come to fight, and Rashad needs to win this fight. What's Rashad's?
Three straight.
Three straight?
He's lost. I want to say something in six. 18-6 or something like that. I could say probably some.
Give me those last three fights when you get a chance.
Yeah.
Rashad's 19-6-1.
Okay.
I know Dan Kelly beat him.
David Kelly.
David?
Is it Dan Kelly or David?
No,
Dan Kelly. Sorry. Okay.
You have Rashad's.
Why would I correct Matt Serra?
I don't know.
Why would I think?
I just did
this with your pinky. I just tweeted this little pinky. My mistake.
Rashad lost to Bader, Glover Teixeira, and Daniel Kelly.
But Bader, was that, how was that?
That was a decision. A decision loss.
A decision, and so was David Kelly was a decision.
Yeah, a split decision.
David Kelly again.
Did I just say it again?
I think you did.
Oh, he created the practice, I think?
No. I actually know why I am thinking of that name.
Why?
Okay, here's a random...
Your last girlfriend's name's
no.
David.
No, I'll be very honest. There's a great documentary. Hold on, let me make sure.
David and Goliath?
It's about the Children of God cult.
Oh, that's a crazy segue.
It was a cult. And a lot of sexual abuse. It's a really sad documentary.
Yeah.
But one of the survivors of that cult,
okay,
she was a little girl. She was abused. Her name is Davida Kelly, and she's on Facebook. And I was thinking about her lately, and that's where I'm getting David Kelly from, Davida Kelly. I keep thinking that name, and that was where it comes from. So it's a crazy jump, but you know, mind works in weird ways. The mind is almost like, I think... Like, you know how when your computer stores stuff, it's like a lot of times it puts it in weird places and then it just grabs it and puts it together quickly.
Oh, trust me.
It's not all in one place.
My mind's all over the place.
And your mind is like that. It just makes these weird leaps, but that is why. So anyway, we have Sergio and Colleen and Rashad.
Hey, yes. Jimmy.
Yes, buddy. I was going to ask you about that.
What
because
is this? What what does this look like when I'm holding
two Benoit balls?
It's like two fucking testicles.
Yeah, it looks like you're going to be, it's a long cord.
Yes.
Wrapped around two green balls. Yep. It almost looks like you're teaching Kermit a lesson.
Yeah.
Boo, Jim. Let me see.
Look at the guy touched those. You could keep them. I'm not taking them with
they
me.
Are.
I even told the guy. You know where I got those?
Hold on. They're rubbery. They're bouncing. They're almost like, they're like practice. click clacks. Remember click clacks when you were a kid? Click 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 click.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to punch them or something.
What is this? It's a long, well, listen, it's a long piece of rubber with two. Oh, this glowing ball. Oh no, the balls glow.
I don't even know it glows.
Oh my god!
Look at these things. Well, all right, listen. They're
glowing balls. This
listen,
is
let's not keep people in suspense. I was on the subway.
Subway here. Or the train from Long Island?
No, the subway.
Okay.
So I was on the waiting for the one train to come up here, and. This dude, this is a black guy, athletic, you know, with a skateboard. He had his headphones in. So he sees me, and then he points and he starts smiling. So I notice the guy probably watches the fight. So you know, I say my usual, hey, oh, hey, you watch the fights? Yeah. He goes, oh man. He goes, do I? He goes, you know, oh man, I can't believe I'm seeing you. He goes, I competed versus one of you guys. One of you guys beat me or something. I don't know. I guess in a jiu-jitsu match or something. I go, oh, that's cool. And he goes, but look, and then the train comes and we're getting on the train. He goes, man, it's so funny I ran into you, man. I was just talking about you last night. And I was saying, man, if I run into Matt Serra, man, I'm gonna give him some shit. I go, what? So I go, yeah. I go, tell me. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, oh, about the Woodley fight, man. He goes, why you on Tyron Woodley? Why don't you give him props? He goes, with that fight with Maya. I go, look, man. I go, tell me something. And then he goes, well, look, he went right into, he took away all his takedowns. He goes, and this and that.
He went into the Jim Norton argument. He stole my argument. This well-muscled man.
I go, hey, man. I go, well, look, first of all, I love Tyron. I go, one of my very close friends, Dean Thomas, is his trainer. Yeah. He's always a gentleman. And he's a hell of a fighter. I mean, he laid out Robbie Lawler. What do you have? So he said something like 9 first round finishes or something like that.
He's fucking awesome.
No, the guy's a monster. But I go, let me ask you. I go, he's taking away all these takedowns. I go, what if Damian Maya didn't take a step forward? What are we looking at? And he goes, I didn't think of it that way. I go, all right. I go, you know, he's a nice guy. He wasn't like confrontational, but you know, wasn't really giving me shit. And then, you know, I go, well, look, man, I go, that's what I'm talking about, man. I'm saying that he's such a stud. I'm not attacking him. If anything, I think he's so dangerous that it's one thing if he survived and he took away those things and he's running from them. It's not even the case. He's taking away the takedowns. It looks, it maybe looks easier than it is, but he's taking them away. But he's taken away and then he's not going to hurt him. He might hurt him in the process of giving him a shot and getting at it, but he's not coming. Why doesn't he? I mean, look, he could do some feints, rip to the body, a couple shots. He could have the objective of trying to take him out, and I don't think that was his objective.
He might have fainted a bit too much, yeah.
If he fought him another how many rounds, I think he was going to keep doing the same thing.
Although I did notice, I watched some of that recently again, and a couple of the times Woodley went in and threw a couple punches, that's exactly when Maya was grabbing him, and it was almost like he learned, every time I go in, this fucking animal's going to grab me and try to take me to the ground.
The one thing that has to be, I guess, really taken into consideration, if he's saying he has his shoulders out. Even during the last podcast, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, if your shoulder is out, you know.
Sure, it changes
the way
you throw a fight.
You didn't say nothing right afterwards, you know, but whatever. A day or so afterwards, everybody's bitching. I'm not making saying he made it up. I'm just saying.
Sure.
Everybody's bitching.
And then he says,
my fucking arm was out, people. Oh, it's one arm. I had one arm. He had one eye. What are you going to do? I don't know. Listen, all I'm saying is.
Well, how do those things come into play? You've not addressed the green balls in the room, Matt, and I want to
know. Oh, I never addressed the green balls.
Yeah, I missed Piggy's
so listen,
chin.
So that's right.
Sorry, second Kermit joke.
Yeah, it's fucking sick. Fuck. Oh, shit. I'm lightheaded again. So then we talked a little bit more about some fights, and he was a nice guy. So then he was getting off. He goes, hey, look, take these. He gives me these green balls. I go, no, really. So at first I'm trying to be nice, like, nah, you don't have to give me a gift. And then he goes, no, take them, man. You could punch them, and then you could hang them up. I go, no. I go, seriously, dude. I go, thinking this, it's a waste. I'm doing a lot more jiu-jitsu now. I'm not even hitting things. Trust me. And he goes, no, I got a ton of them. So here they go. So Chris, the producer, I really, I didn't get you something last Christmas. I wanted to handles. That's for Chris.
Oh, that's
Chris.
So
those
nice.
Are yours. You can punch them. You know.
Okay, I'm going to. That's
yeah.
Good.
There you go. So
mine.
Chris is getting. You can. I don't know what you're going to do with them, Jimmy. They look like something
so
out
much,
of an S&M.
That's very nice.
So there you go, Chris, the producer.
I thought there was going to be a story like the guy gave Matt shit and then pulled this out as a weapon, and Matt took it from him after throwing a Kimura.
The guy gave me the most friendliest, giving me shit. Yeah. That he's like, I was just talking about you last night. I want to give you. I said I was going to give him some shit about that Woodley fight.
He probably wanted to give you more shit, but then when you actually see Matt in person, you realize that Matt's a powerful man.
Right. I go, what are you going to say? And then that's when he went into it. And then I'm like, all right, and I talked to him a little bit. He wasn't mean. He was nice.
He was a good egg.
He was a good egg. I'm sure when he was talking about me with his buddy before that, I see that little fucker.
Exactly. Fuck that little pizza eater.
Fuck that little meatball.
You know, and it was also a couple of things have happened post 214, which was Uzdemir called out Gustafsson. And I think that would be a tremendous fight.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how long it would go.
Did he do that?
Yeah.
Wow. He said, and I'm going to quote him accurately. He was on Instagram. He goes, let's increase the value of the next title shot. He's called Alex Molinar. I need to figure out who the real king of Europe is. Alex, I know how great you are and I respect you a lot, but I'm going to knock you out. Not because I want to, just because I have to. Which I think is a great,
because he has no time.
He's hashtag no time. Jones versus the king of
how
Europe.
How old is no time? Hashtag no time. Is that his nickname now?
Yeah.
He's
22. Was that 22 seconds?
Vulcan, no time, Uzdemir.
How Vulcan? He Vulcan?
Vulcan.
Vulcan?
He hits hard. Vulcan.
They better make sure he doesn't try to fucking neck pinch him in there.
Who do you think Jones fights next? Now, Gustafsson is the obvious choice.
You guys suck. What?
Gustafsson's the obvious choice.
He's only 27, Uzdemir.
So. Yeah, I guess he is. I think Vulcan, it should be Vulcan. I got plenty of time. The fuck? It's not like he's 37.
Who do you think he fights next?
Yeah, they can't all be fucking out of the park right there. What?
Well, that was a good point.
It should be a car crash if we had that sound.
Nah,
effect.
Come on.
What were you going to say?
Who do you think Jones fights? Who's next in line? Well, who's number one right now?
Yeah, put those rankings up there.
These haven't been updated, though.
All right, we'll just give it to us before. We'll do a little math. We'll figure it out.
Look at this.
I can't see. What am I, old?
the mouse won't.
Come on, fix the mouse, Chris. You're breaking it. You're spilling it.
Here, I'll just tell you.
Go on now.
This has Jon Jones at number one.
Okay,
so Jon Jones is the champion. Cormier's one.
Okay, who
probably
else?
At this point. Then you have Gustafsson, Manoa, but I would assume Vulcan Uzdemir is going to move to third.
What was Vulcan Uzdemir?
Five.
So maybe he moves to four. Who's four?
Glover Teixeira.
Okay, yeah, he goes to four.
And then you have Shogun, Corey Anderson, Ovin St. Preux.
I mean, Gustafsson.
It's the next choice.
Is the guy.
That's the next fight.
I that's the guy.
They had
dude.
A tremendous
who
war.
Who would want to see that? And not, and especially after how good Gustafsson.
I always say Gustafsson. I always say it wrong. But Gustafsson against Jones, the first fight was incredible. The second fight is absolutely warranted. Gustafsson is now number one.
Look at his last fight versus Glover, man. Holy shit.
He looked amazing.
Or does Cormier go to stage
he's
number
never
one?
Looked better.
Cormier would probably fall to number one, but he's obviously not going to get the
number. No. I think that should be Gustafsson. Yeah. And I think Uzdemir is well-intentioned to jump in there, and maybe he fights one more and then is next in line for the title shot, but I do not think that you jump Gustafsson, and you don't have Gustafsson have to go through him to get to Jones.
No, I agree. And Gustafsson really looked as good as you could possibly look in his last fight. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to see with that whole reach thing. I mean, he's not so easy to kick in the head. Like, I mean,
he's fast too, man.
And when you think about it, the guys, I guess, who gave him the most trouble standing, I mean, even, what is it? OSP? Mm-hmm. When he went the distance with him, another tall, lanky, tall guy, a guy that he doesn't have any reach on. So that is interesting.
Well, before you came in, Chris and I were talking about John's moving up to possible heavyweight. Maybe that's his next move. He may want to fight heavyweight next time to grab some of that money he lost in the last 2.5 years. But we talk about heavyweight too. Okay, so let's just say Brock doesn't happen. We were going through heavyweights. Who could he possibly beat? Who could he not beat? I think he could beat Travis Brown at this point. I think he would have a very hard time against Kane. You know, Kane's just such a savage. I think he'd have a very hard time against Kane. We talked about Ngannou. And it's like, I also think that Overeem could beat Jones. Even though Overeem's a lot older.
Yeah.
You know, he's such a great striker.
Well, I mean,
right. Well, they have the connection at Jackson Wink, too.
That,
so
yeah,
I don't
that's
know
true.
If they would, but
yeah.
I don't think
for
that.
A title, I think.
I don't think Jones just wants to go up there and start fighting everybody.
No, he doesn't.
I think it's a very strategic move to fight Brock Lesnar. I think that would be one fight, and then he'd get out of there. Unless, you know, a guy a little lighter ends up winning.
Stipe's lighter.
How big is Stipe?
I want to say 240, 235. Is that wrong or no?
But you know, Stipe's got to be 235.
Think about Stipe, yeah. And I love Stipe.
Because he hits like a fucking horse hammer.
First of all, it's no real upside for John Jones, because John Jones is way more popular. And I love Stipe.
He's a bigger name. Stipe knows that.
Yeah, well, Stipe knows that too, of course. So it's like one of those things. It's such a weird thing like that. I mean, how many guys does Stipe got to lay out before people start saying, holy shit, Stipe?
And we talked about Ngannou. I mean? That's a bad fight.
Oh, I'm looking. Wait, when is that going down?
Ngannou against JDS? I don't know.
No. When is Ngannou versus, what did you say?
Junior.
JDS?
Yeah.
When is that?
I don't know.
I'm going to check right now.
I probably should know. But no, we talked about Ngannou fighting Jones, and the reach advantage is gone for Jones there, because Ngannou has gigantic, long 83-inch arms. That's
That's September 9th. That's in Edmonton.
Oh, okay.
So that's coming up.
That's a very, look, Jones is a much more skilled fighter than Ngannou, much more experienced. He can do everything well. But you know, you don't want to fight a guy who could literally break your ribs with one punch.
Right.
So I don't know if Jones would take that fight either.
I'm going to call Rashad, by the way. Just
you know. Oh, we have to call him now?
Yeah.
Look at this. What about me? When is this going down? September 16th, UFC Fight Night. The Rockhold versus Branch, which is interesting by itself.
It's in Pittsburgh?
That's in Pittsburgh, September 16th. Mike Perry versus Alves.
I wanted to see him fight Ponzinibbio, but Alves is a great fight too.
That's a very good fight, man. That's a really huge, huge test for Mike Perry.
Yeah.
You know, and Mike Perry's really coming into his own, man. Like, you know, I mean, I feel like we haven't seen him in a little bit. Right?
We did talk to him.
First of all,
fun guy to talk to.
He's a really fun guy. I like the real guys, man. Yeah. I like when they're not trying to be too politically correct.
He's just who he is.
He's just that guy is who he is.
Yeah.
And again, anybody with the facial tattoos, you gotta be like, all right.
Yeah. If you've sat there,
they're all in. Their life is set as far as what direction they're going in. Jimmy.
All right, now Chris.
What else is up, Jimmy?
I'm feeling a little rumbling in my stomach. As my friend used to say, that telltale heaviness in the back.
Why is that now? You gotta go do a cock-a-poop?
I don't know. It's possible. It's a thought. At the moment,
I had my first roll in a week.
How'd it feel?
Away. Oh, felt so good, dude. But the gi, I was sweating. Oh, no. Jimmy's leaning forward.
I'm listening. I want to hear you.
Oh, no.
Can I not listen to my friend?
I really hope it doesn't stink, though.
Well, I didn't know.
I'm not going to get mad at you because I'm a guy, and guys do that. But I hope it don't stink. No, just
I didn't actually drop.
No?
No.
I can't wait to visit you and Sam soon.
Why not? I was going to ask you about either tomorrow or...
Shit. Next week, my wife's going out.
Hold on. Rashad, what's up, buddy?
No good, huh?
I shake my head no.
What happened?
He didn't answer yet.
All right.
What time was he supposed to be on? Is he supposed to be on
now? We were a couple of minutes late. We were supposed to call him for like 5 minutes.
Okay, well, hopefully we'll get Sugar Rashad Evans on the phone. There was some more news I had wanted to cover, but I can never find my papers. I need to bring a computer here. I'm very, very sloppy.
I'm reading the notes here.
Oh, let's talk about DC for a second.
That's funny. I was just reading that.
Yeah, he did. He had a really, he's such a humble guy. How can anyone not like Daniel Cormier? He said, first of all, he said this about John. Thank you for those kind words. I felt the support. Congratulations to John Jones and his team. They did a phenomenal job and got the victory. Also to Big John McCarthy, I want to apologize for acting up with you. I'm thankful for the time you gave me to try and defend myself and stay in the fight. You're the best in the business for a reason. And then I think he said, fuck Herb Dean, which I didn't go for.
Yeah.
No, he didn't say that. Your time and energy is greatly appreciated. You guys did a wonderful job. I was ready. It's a fist fight and things happen.
Mm.
Dana White and the UFC, thank you for being the premier organization in all MMA. Again, congrats to Team Jones and Jackson Wink. Love you all. I'll see you soon, DC. And then Big John responded, you have nothing to apologize for. You've been an incredible champion who has represented the sport of MMA with class and dignity. You also fought a great fight against an incredible competitor. It was an honor being in the cage with two of the greatest. A really nice moment. And Chris went back and found something, which again, Matt remembered the interview. I did not remember this particular interview.
Yeah.
But can we play this? Something that DC had said before their first fight.
I'm ready for the fight.
Can I get any type of hint or a clue? Can you give me a hint or a clue for something I maybe don't
know? Well, the thing is, like, He knows. I do. I have tendencies, and I know what he's talking about because they're glaring.
You know what? Check this out. If you tell me what I'm talking about, I'll tell you the truth.
I know. No,
if that's what I'm talking about.
That is a trick. That is a trick. Because what if I say some other shit? But that is a trick because that's I may say something else. But I know that there's one thing that I do that that has gotten me in trouble, if you want to call it trouble. That I've been in a fight before, and I haven't been in much trouble. So in the instance that I did get maybe a cut or something, I know it was because of that tendency he's talking about.
You're talking about the Josh Burnett fight, but...
you see, so maybe we are on the same wavelength. Will be figured out by September 27th. Okay. So don't think you're going to kick me in the head with your left leg.
Oof. Wow, and that's before the first fight. And I wonder... It's so funny that Jones spotted that, Jackson Wink spotted that, Cormier knew it, and then it just it only takes a moment of forgetting. Like Chris shooting for the takedown on the wrong side with Yoel Romero. Like it's weird. Like I guess in those moments, man, you know your game plan and you know all this stuff, but in the end it's a fight and you make that one dumb mistake and it fucking costs you.
With the height difference, it's not a unusual thing to look out for. Like, you know what I mean?
Sure, the head going
away. Oh, shit.
You had to deal with that, right?
Yeah, I mean...
Did you go either way? Was there one thing you did like that?
No, I mean, I got used to, like, if you see my fight with St. Pierre, I took away all his kicks where... But I had guys kicking at my head constantly. He never landed anything clean on me. And it felt like a really good sparring day, like, when I fought Sabit. The first one. Yeah. The second one with the
not
shit.
Not as good, yeah.
But the first one, it just felt like a good day of sparring. Like, I was... Felt good in the exchanges, and I remember we had guys mimicking him where they were doing the same kind of kicks, like, you know, Longo's like, he's doing karate kicks to the head, it ain't shit. Longo's having these guys just kick up at my head. So when you see me fight him, I was moving with it, so I wouldn't take it on the forearm too much, but I was blocking him away, returning. It felt like it was just muscle memory.
Longo didn't think those kicks were particularly impressive.
Longo was like, he's overrated standing. Okay. Longo was great.
So he's overrated.
Oh, standing. Yeah. Longo really is the guy that make me believe that I could put this guy out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, you know.
What did you say when you get back to the dressing room that night? You go back, you just fucking upset GSP. You go back to the dressing room. What do?
No, you know, you're still, it's kind of like shock, like in a sense where it doesn't set in right away. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the second Big John stepped in to stop it, I'm like, that was huge. I'm like, it's over. I'm like, they can't start it again. I did it. This is it. It's over. And then it kind of sets in, and then it just...
Did you go out that night?
It still feels good.
Did you go out that night?
No. My guys in Texas, I couldn't even walk through the lobby when we got to the hotel. It was ridiculous. It took forever. And by that time, you're emotionally just... Whew, and you feel great, though. You're on like a high. Extreme high. Highest you ever been.
Yeah,
like
of course.
A drug. And it's just... Everything's just good. And then I had my guys... My faithful friends and students, they went and they found me a meatball hero somewhere in Texas.
That's nice.
I don't know how they did it.
You wanted a meatball hero.
Yeah, and some pizza.
They get pizza too?
I believe
so. Too bad you had pizza in Texas.
I didn't. It was so good.
It was good.
You know why it was good?
Because you had won.
Oh, it was great.
Sat in the hotel and ate pizza.
And then I looked on the internet and they go, he got lucky. I go, you fucks. You ruined everything. I'm eating my meatball hero. I'm crying over my hero. Anyway, enough of me on the glory days.
Well, no, I'm interested in that. You don't get to usually ask a champion. Hold on. We got Rashad here. Rashad, when you beat, what?
No, we don't have Rashad.
Oh, okay.
What happened then?
Chris is just not calling him right. He's got a wrong number. So we we have hopefully him calling him. But DC is just such a lovely guy. Like, you know, again, of course, you knew that him being upset was just because he got a concussion.
And when did Rashad get in the UFC? When was that Ultimate Fighter 2?
Season 2
he was on, I believe.
With Matt Hughes.
Yeah, but when was that?
2005.
That's a good...
Is that your guess?
Yes.
No, I think he's...
Maybe six maximum?
I think he's off.
Let's see, actually.
What is
it? Yeah, November 5th, 2005.
Yeah, I'm good at dates. I'm good at dates.
Did you ever watch season 4 of The Ultimate Fighter?
I did. It's been a long time, though. What happened?
I won.
Oh.
It's not the point, though, Jimmy.
I'll watch it again soon.
Watch it. It's fun.
Wonder how Matt Hughes is doing, by the way. No word. I mean, Robbie Lawler mentioned him in his in the ring interview, he said he's been fighting, and it was really nice to hear somebody mention Matt Hughes. Yeah. I guess they were close.
Oh, yeah.
Or they still are close.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But I wonder if Matt Hughes has any improvement, or does he have what they call a TBI, a traumatic brain injury. And those are motherfuckers, man. Because you don't know how long it's going to be, and I'm sure his head hit the window and, you know, inside the truck.
I don't know. Right. The only reason I don't keep bringing it up is because I guess if they want you to know something, I guess they'll let us know.
They will, yeah. But you think about it once in a while when you
think. I think about it all the time, actually. I don't know. It comes to me a lot. I actually asked Rob, I asked how he's doing and everything. He said thank you. And, he didn't really get into it too much, but, you know, you could tell it was heavy on his mind, you know, Robbie Lawler. Robbie Lawler is a great guy. Just a very. Even when I used to have beef with Hughes and everything back in the day, like, he never, you know, I always got, that guy never got involved. Like, he was always a good dude, you know? You know what I mean, Jimmy?
Sure. Yeah, he is a good guy. And, you know, I'm just hoping that Matt Hughes has some improvement.
Yeah, there's nothing official from the family, but, you know, you see some stuff over the last couple of weeks that, like, slight improvement, but it's nothing official, so I don't...
Can he open his eyes? I don't know
any details like that.
I, you know, people get those once in a while, and I had a cousin who had a very bad accident. She had a brain injury. She was in a coma, but she came out of it and she's okay now. I think once in a while she said her memory's a little fucked up, but I mean, like, that's the price you pay. Your memory's all right, fine. I mean, I'm 49. My memory's a little fucked up, so it happens.
I'm 43.
You look good though. Not a day over 35. But you hope that you just hope he's okay, and you forget how long people are in the hospital with this stuff. It was an HBO documentary years ago on traumatic brain injuries. Really sad, because you realize how people just stopped at these amazing points in their lives. And it's literally like one guy had gotten married and he's with his new bride. He was sitting on the second floor balcony, second story, and he was drinking with his buddy and he just fell off. Oh. And then he's fucking loopy and, like, you know, helpless and, like, talking all fucked up. But I think they did a follow-up a couple years later and he's much, much better. Which was so nice. Like, I really was happy for these people that recovered. It does happen. You can get better from it, but it takes a while.
There's actually a great documentary called The Crash Reel, which I think was on HBO as well, about this snowboarder named Kevin Pierce.
Yes, I saw that.
And he was like a rival of
skateboarder, not Jason Ellis.
Sean White or whatever. No, snowboarder.
Oh, I like Sean White. Yeah.
And they were rivals. They were going to go to the Olympics, whatever. Kevin Pierce had a very bad accident, and then it kind of like follows his progress.
But isn't he okay now?
Yeah, but he can't compete or anything. You know, he had a very bad.
Well, I want to get back to the fights because you guys are depressing me. Listen, you know this fucking. You know the co-main event is Randa Markos versus Alexa Grasso, yes. Which I'm very interested in. That's a good fight.
Yeah.
That's a really good fight. Who was Randa's last fight versus?
Oh,
now Chris will pretend he's thinking, but he's really looking it up.
No, look that up because she's tough, and I believe she won that fight. And it was versus. Tell me that fight because it's on the tip. It's in my brain.
Yeah, but it was against Carla Esparza. I was going to say that it was against Carla Esparza.
She won that fight.
She won the fight.
And that was a tough fight though. I don't know if you remember.
Split decision. It was a very fun fight. Yeah.
Well, that's. I mean, and now and Alexa, she just got beat by Felice.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Whew, now this is interesting because Felice was all over her, but she definitely out grappled her, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And that's what Ronda's bread and butter is. I mean, Randa. Am I saying
Randa?
Randa.
Randa.
Yeah. Randa. Sorry about that. Randa. Randa's she's a good grappler, man. Really good grappler. So we're going to see if Alexa made those corrections and if she's able to stop the takedown, because that's what Randa does, man. She strikes her way in and she's got some good grappling, you know? That's a good fight. I want to see that. I want to see if Alexa made. She's a young, tough fighter. I want to see if she made those corrections to see if she's able to deal with this, with the grappling, you know? She doesn't seem lost down there, Jimmy. She seems good,
right.
But she definitely got out-hustled by Felice. Big test.
Yeah.
Big test, Jimmy.
Big test for Chris right now.
Chris the producer?
This is the eighth time he's trying to call Rashad. He's probably taking a dump. He'll call us when he can.
All right.
Leave him a message.
Okay.
You're panicking.
It's probably. Well, it's funny, though.
All right. Oh, cool. Rashad, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Rashad.
Hey. What do you think? I wanted to ask. I'll talk about Rumble Johnson.
Yes.
Do they know each other?
Do you want to talk about Rumble Johnson?
Yes.
I seen him over the weekend.
Did you say hi to him?
No, well, yeah. I said hi. He's a nice guy.
We didn't really talk.
I don't know. He's running around, though.
Cool.
All what's right. Up? Oh, Rashad Evans on the phone.
I know you're going to do it, too. Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's right.
Is that nice
one? I'm thinking. Now, listen. I really hope the guy picks up.
He's in Mexico.
Oh, is he in Mexico?
I'm guessing. If the fight's this Saturday.
So you're trying to say there's no phones in Mexico?
No, I'm saying there's a lot of bathroom issues.
Why would I attack you like that, Jimmy? Oh, there is bathroom issues. Huh? No ice in my drink. I went there before.
I think they figured it out now, though.
Yeah?
The hotels probably have better filtered water.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. Come again?
Love to.
I got action this morning.
Did you really?
Yeah, it felt good.
You always tell him I get
felt paid. Good. I'm happy. Look, I'm happy.
He's happy.
Smiling.
I didn't get action this morning.
I got to lose weight.
Yeah, you look good.
All right. I was doing good yesterday. I dieted like the whole day.
What'd you have?
But then at night, you know what I cheated with?
What'd you cheat with?
You know what I cheated with, Jimmy?
Probably nothing big.
Not bad.
What?
A teaspoon. Okay, tablespoon. You got me. I can't lie. I'm not a good liar. I was going to say a teaspoon of Nutella. A tablespoon! Nutella!
How was it?
Oh, creamy and delicious. And I just opened it up and it was a little warm. I'm a fucking dumb disgrace.
You just dumped your spoon in
there? Oh! Maybe twice.
Fuck it. How many tablespoons?
Ruined. Just what?
How many?
How many lumps?
How many tablespoons?
Come on. I had one. Like one. And then my kid had one and maybe didn't finish the whole thing.
So you had some hers.
I had maybe one and a half.
You don't want to waste it.
Or two. But the thing is this. I was good all day. And the Nutella, they say Nutella's not that bad for you. Nobody
who says that?
Nobody.
Frank Nutella?
My wife. Oh. My Frank. Why Frank Nutella?
I couldn't think of a fucking worse name.
Oh, shoot.
Oh. So your wife goes, oh, go ahead. Have
might
some.
Just pass out, Jimmy.
She wants you to have some?
My wife, I think my wife really likes to keep me chubby, Jimmy. And I said it before, and I will not change my my stance on that.
She a chubby chaser? Or do you think that she doesn't?
Well, one, she watches all those midget shows, so I think she has a little bit of a fetish for the short people.
Okay.
So, you know, there's that. And then there's two, I think she just, it's more of like, again, she doesn't want me walking around in shape. Cause I'm a charmer,
sure.
and you know my personality. Girls like funny guys.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a
allegedly. I wouldn't have experienced that, but I've heard.
Jimmy, seriously, every time you ever got laid is well, one, you're a good looking dude.
Average looking guy, and I've gotten laid
stop
for two reasons.
Stop sucking in you.
God, I'm not like sucking in. I'm not.
No, you're a good looking guy. You start doing this like
no. I didn't
turn into
it
a
in.
Fucking Jimmy Norton,
no,
the superhero.
No, I actually just looked at it and I was like what disgusted.
Just happened?
I was
when
disgusted
I said
with
that,
my stomach.
When I first said it, you were sitting back in the chair, and it's like somebody had a thing where they're pumping up a thing. You went.
Oh no! Here's what happened.
Your chest came out.
It wasn't. I looked down. I saw my gut, and I leaned in like that and looked down at it, disgusted with the fact that I could see it over my belt. Yeah. That was utter self-hatred.
I'm just square.
We really
I'm like
are
a
like
fire
two,
hydrant of a man.
We're like two fucking middle-aged fucking yentas. You turn into the UFC's podcast. What happened? Fucking Fatso and Jizzbag were complaining about their bodies.
It's kind of fucked up that I'm Fatso. I'd
who
rather
said
be
you
Jizzbag.
Are. You can't be. Maybe you
can
are.
I be, well, you're not Fatso.
Maybe I am.
No, I think the other one fits better. Jizzbag. You fucking Jizzbag. I'm only kidding, Jimmy. Jimmy, all I know is Rashawn Evans got his hands full with fucking Sam Alvey. Who's
I'd like
smiling
to ask him
right
about
now
it.
In Mexico.
I don't like Chris.
Where are they?
Him
Mexico?
On the phone. Yeah, Mexico,
yeah, Mexico City.
City.
Shit, man. And I want to hear about him training with the great Mark Henry here in New Jersey. He was in New Jersey.
Was he?
Why the hell wasn't he in studio? Well, why not now he's in Mexico. But, you know, I want to see how'd that come about. How'd that come about?
I'd like to
ask him, Chris, the producer.
We're working on it.
Can we try to call him up?
I've been trying. I'm talking to Josh.
Are you hiring?
Me?
Yeah.
Toyo Tires?
No, it's not.
Oh, I'm sorry. What?
You know where to put your job to put the find the best candidates?
Me?
Where you post your job?
No.
Yes.
I'm ruining this whole read. Go.
You're not ruining the read because it's a fair question.
It is.
People hear that and they go, where can I post my ad to get the best recruits for my job? Of course.
ZipRecruiter.
Matt, you understand the products that support this show. Oh, ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100.
What?
10 was good. 100 is great. 100 plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job. It's better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. That's great. What a time saver. No juggling emails or calls to your office. You simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, our listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. Absolutely free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/unfiltered. That's ZipRecruiter.com/unfiltered. One more time to try it for free. You go to ZipRecruiter.com/unfiltered. UFC fighters are tough. You already know that. But you know what else is tough?
Tell yo!
That's right. Toyo Tires. Matt said it. That's why Toyo has been a proud sponsor of the UFC, because they're all tough. Just like UFC fighters, Toyo Tires are built for battle. They handle adversity well. It's an all-or-nothing philosophy. Durability, aggressive design, on- and off-road capabilities. Why do you need to ask stupid questions? Yes to all of those things. Living life on the highway? Toyo has you covered. Spending some serious time off-road? They have a tire for that, too. No matter what you drive, Toyo, that's T-O-Y-O, has what you need. And frankly, look, the tires look cool. Now, I know we all like to pretend that doesn't matter. It does matter. You don't want sucky, ugly tires. Wow, great car, sucky tires. It looks bad. Boo. It's like putting on a suit and a pair of white flip-flops. You'd look like an ass because your tires look terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You need good tires that look good. Any vehicle, every terrain, all or nothing Toyo tires. The next time you need tires, ask for Toyo. Look, you want to experience more? Visit toyotires.com/UFC. T-O-Y-O. You have nothing to lose. Try them. T-O-Y-O. toyotires.com/UFC.
I'm sorry if you heard that crash, me throwing a pen across the
It was fun watching you try.
I was trying. You see me like I'm swatting a fly?
Eight times.
Not looking at me. He's being rude is what he's being.
No, he's busy. He's looking at
the I'm sorry, Chris the producer. I didn't mean to attack you like that.
No,
I wanted to show you. I wanted to, you know, while we got a little time to kill, I'll read you a compliment that I got from the show. I did everything right for the Verizon. Oh, no, wait, this is my wife. Exit about. I had trouble with my count.
Abel Trujillo versus Lando Venata. That fight is going to be.
That's a very fun fight.
That is UFC 216, which is October 7th.
I always like seeing that Lando fight.
I do, too.
Look, listen to this, what I get.
I'm being told we're getting Rashad in a second. So, God.
Motherfucker. Look, look, from all my preaching of jiu-jitsu, this is nice. I get a lot of these. Hey, Matt, just started at my local 10th Planet yesterday. That's the Eddie Bravo affiliated schools. I'm a shorter guy and was nervous. Hearing you on Unfiltered, being absolutely in love with it, I decided to go. Thank you for the inspiration, and I can't wait to start looking for limbs. Ha ha! That was him doing the ha.
That's good.
That's great. I don't even know what the hell this guy's name is. I can't. Oh, Kenneth. Hey, Kenneth Schaefer. There you go. You got a shout out. I'm glad you're training over at one of Eddie Bravo's schools, training jiu-jitsu.
We should get it's Eddie on the you. Show. I'd love to talk to
I'd
Eddie
I'd love
Bravo.
To have Eddie in here. I'm cool with Eddie. I like Eddie a lot. I've hung out with Eddie before. You know? Oh, this is great.
Oh, wait. Do we actually have Rashad Evans?
Yes.
Hi, Rashad.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hi, buddy. You're talking to Jim and Matt. Are we interrupting something you're doing that's important?
No, I just got done training. Just finished.
Oh, you did just finish. Okay. How long do you have to go down to Mexico City? How long before just to adjust to the altitude and all that stuff?
Well, I did 3 weeks, man, just to make sure I got acclimated to the elevation. I mean, the elevation is one thing. Everybody talks about the elevation. But getting accustomed to the food and stuff like that is just as important. You know, if you're not careful, as you can end up on the toilet.
Yeah,
I've
done one thing in Mexico. I shot MTV pilots years ago, and I avoided everything. I had nothing, no ice, no nothing. The night before my shoot, which was on a 102-degree beach in Mexico, I have a cappuccino, and I forget that's made with water, so I'm running into a public toilet while doing a shoot on a beach. It was not a good pilot.
it's not. But that's the thing about, I was just like that, too, when I first got here, avoiding everything, but eventually something gets in, just you're not thinking, you know, you're not paying attention, and next thing you know, you're like, your stomach's bothering you, and you're on the toilet, and from what I've seen in the UFC, having loose stools is not the place to fight when you not the place to be when you have loose stools.
So have you had how long did it take for it to happen to you this time?
Man, it was probably like 3 days into the trip, about six days.
Oh, well, wow. Okay, so that's a long time to be sick.
Yeah, the good news is it might help with the weight cut, though. I might go there for a cleanse.
Yeah.
I chew on some ice cubes and just shit myself.
Yeah, well, that's what I was hoping on, but now I got used to it, and now it doesn't affect me anymore.
Oh, shit.
Is that what happens, though? Once you start doing it, you're okay?
Yeah, once you start doing it, you're okay. I probably can drink out of the hose right now.
Oh. Yo, let me ask you, do you have the...
well, I won't go that far.
Do you have the great Mark Henry there with you?
Yeah, Mark is coming up tomorrow.
Now... You know, I seen you've been working with Mark Henry, who I'm a good friend of, and I love his work. I think he's one of the best and underrated. People don't talk about him enough, you know? Now, tell me, how did you get together with Mark? How'd that happen?
In 2013, I worked with Mark right before my fight with Chael Sonnen. It was just a good fit, you know? Stayed in his house for a couple of weeks, and, you know, we had some really intense training sessions. And just the workload alone, you know, like when you work with Mark Henry, you're not just going to get, you know, a regular coach, you know, giving you certain assignments. This guy's going to put you through it. You know, he's going to test everything. And, you know, you get yourself a little notebook and you write down, you know, all the stuff that you need to know. And, you know, right now I got a book full of codes that I got to know for Saturday. And it's just, you know, part of the homework, part of the mental preparation that goes into, getting ready for a fight, you know, and Mark is, you know, very meticulous about, you know, every technique, and, you know, he's not afraid to, you know, keep being like, no, you're not doing it right, over and over again.
He's like a mad scientist. I seen that notebook before. It's like Henry Winkler's one from, what is that, Waterboy? He's got a lot of plays in it. He better guard that thing with this. He's got this notebook he's always writing.
But it's so different because everybody has different codes on there in that notebook. So you'll never know, you know, if you're looking at Frankie's or if you're looking at, you know, Marlon, it's just the codes are totally different. So everybody's book varies a bit. And he remembers everybody's book.
Now Rashad, you know, I've had a couple losses back-to-back before that I had to come back from. And I know how it can stress on you mentally. I've been there before. And personally, I would just remember why I got into the game and remember that I just loved to fight and tried to do it for the right reasons instead of having that weigh down on me. How are you feeling mentally going into this? You know, having a few tough
three straight,
fights.
Well, that's also exactly how I'm feeling. You know, the hardest thing is just getting past the ego. Getting past my ego and just getting past the part where, you know I haven't fought to my level, and I know that, you know, I'm not where I used to be, and I know what people say about me, and getting past that ego part, suffering the first just, I guess, surrendering just to my ego and who I thought I was based on other people's opinions, you know. No matter what people say about me, I was who I was before they knew who I was. You know, I've always had that belief that I was a champion. I've always had that belief that I can win and beat these top opponents before I did. So when I have to now build myself back up, I have to abandon that ego that I've got so accustomed to, that person who I've let these people build me into, and just go out there and compete for me.
And the thing is, of the three losses, I mean, okay, one was a rough one with Glover, but you, I mean, you were in two out of the three decisions, a unanimous decision and a split decision against Daniel Kelly. So it's not like you were out of those fights.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's just the way it breaks, you know. I felt like, even in the Glover fight, just a lack of concentration, I felt, you know, when me and Glover first exchanged that, you know, he was powerful, but I definitely could stay in there, but I just got, you know, sloppy with my technique, and he was able to catch me. And then, you know, the fight with Daniel Kelly, I just wasn't aggressive enough. I was out there and I was in spar mode, and just didn't click over, you know. And sometimes, just the overanalyzing, you know, while you're in the fighting is paralyzing. And you know, sometimes you got to turn your brain off and just throw punches, and then eventually something great happened.
Do you did the drop down in middleweight affect you any differently than you thought it would?
It did just on just refueling. You know, one thing that I know the difference is when I was at 205, it didn't take me that much to get back to my 100% strength level, my 100% endurance level, just because I didn't have to cut that much down. But when I cut down to 85, I didn't really refuel properly as far as like making sure I did a little bit extra to get in the proper fuel, so then I'll be have the proper endurance the next day and the proper strength the next day. So it's just, now that I know that, now I know the adjustments I got to make, and now I know that I just got to continue to eat and drink and all day and all next day, despite the fight nerves and everything else like that, because I get terribly nervous before my fights and it kills my appetite, but I got to push past it.
You do get nervous before the fights, and how long before the fight will that usually kick in?
Oh, man, I usually sleep good that night, and then I wake up in the morning, and then I'm just like, oh, shit, it's fight day. And then the immediate nerves of what may happen, what could happen, starts to kick in, and then I try to tell my brain, turn that off and stop that, and then try to have some positive thoughts, and then I go and hang out with my friends and laugh a little bit, and then I stop thinking about it a bit, and then I eat a little breakfast, and then I start thinking about the fight again, and then it usually gets me about 2 to 3 hours before I have to leave. 2 to 3 hours before I gotta leave, because that's like the downtime where I'm just like pretty much by myself, and then I'm just sitting there, and then like usually right before I leave, I just go like fuck it and just go.
Do you ever look at the clock? Like, say it's you're fighting that night, and it's a pay per view. It's gonna start at 10, whatever. Do you ever go, okay, look, in 24 hours, this will be over? When I'm scared, I start looking at the clock and going, yeah, in 12 hours, this will be over. I will have experienced it.
Yeah, I do that. What I do is I make like a goal in my mind. I'd be like, in 24 hours, I can just be sitting on the beach, relaxing, eating whatever I want. And then that would be something that I'm working towards, just like freeing myself to go to that 24 hour, just like where I can just sit and just have my time and just do what I want to do. But I got to do hard 15 minutes. And I'm like, 15 minutes is nothing. It's nothing compared to just being able to chill for whenever you want to, just doing whatever you want. Just 15 minutes. You got 15 minutes.
And I'm amazed you can sleep the night before, though, because I'm such a fucking panicky Pete. I can't sleep even under good circumstances. What do you do to shut your brain off the night before?
I usually watch a movie, and then I just, I usually just, it sounds weird, but I usually have like a pair of fight gloves that I'm going to fight in, and I just put them on, and I just like pace my floors and just, shadow box a little bit and just envision what I'm going to do until I feel satisfied in my mind that I can rest.
Whenever.
I can last. Yeah, 30 minutes, that can last an hour, but that's what I do.
Whenever I used to get super stressed, like I feel like every fight is unique, though. There's other fights I was less stressed, but there's times I feel like getting to me and I'm like, all right, what if I got a call right now that the fight was off? Would I feel better or worse? And I'd be like, absolutely not. I'd want to fight. So I don't know if that makes sense at all. I'd be like, why am I stressed? If they called me now and they say, all right, Matt, the fight's off, I'd be devastated. So what the fuck am I stressing? I enjoy fighting. I tried to really keep it simple for myself. I go, look, at the end of the day, I've been fighting since I'm a kid. I enjoy fucking fighting. Why do I have to make it more in my head? And I just keep it simple like that. And that worked for me. But everybody's different.
That's the biggest thing, is just making it simple. Making it so simple where fighting is not this big monster. And that's what tends to happen sometimes when you have setbacks like I've had, Like, I've had setbacks, I've had, devastating loss, my picture of me getting knocked out is all over the internet, and everyone thinks it's funny as shit, and it's something that I can never live down, but it's part of the sport. You know what I'm saying? It's part of the sport, and it does bring a feeling of anxiety, because you're thinking, like, damn, I don't want to get embarrassed again. But then at the same time, fuck it, if I'm gonna get embarrassed, I'm gonna get embarrassed doing something I love doing. That's just the way I see it. Like, if I'm gonna get embarrassed, I'm gonna get embarrassed doing something I love doing. Fuck it, I don't care.
And you're 37 now, you've had such an amazing career up to this point. Do you, like, when you start to get to that point, and do you start to think, like, all right, what do I want to do after I fight? Even though you're looking for the fight, you're focused, of course, on the fight, But do you, yeah. That must wander into your brain a little bit. Well, and what do you see for yourself? Like, you know, after, you know, say a few more fights, however many more you decide you want to do, what is something you kind of look towards? Like, maybe this will happen.
I think that, you know, I definitely enjoy the fight, but my 37 mind is a lot different than my 25-year-old mind when I first started in UFC. So I definitely think about other things, and other things do begin to interest me. You know, I think about doing the commentating thing. You know, I want to continue to work with the UFC in some capacity. Help out, you know, maybe, you know, help out with the fighters and not the management, whatever the case may be, whatever, you know, they need me to be as. But I like to stay as close to the sport as possible. I want to do kids' programs for the inner cities, kids inner cities where kids are really struggling to be productive in society and not join these gangs that you see a lot of these kids join in Chicago and in South Florida and things like that. You know, a lot of these kids, they do these horrendous crimes because, you know, there really is nothing else for them to do. You know, and if there was a gym, a different kind of gang for them to join, a productive something to motivate them, then I think it could make an impact.
Now, when you look at people who have left the game or left fighting, like, did you at any point have any indication that Rumble Johnson was going to leave fighting and kind of live a Cheech and Chong movie? Did you have any idea that was going to happen?
No, I didn't. But, you know, I kind of felt as if, like, you know, leading up to, you know, the GC fight and stuff like that, you know, I kind of felt like he was on borrowed time anyways, just because, you know, going to that camp, it wasn't a smooth camp for him. There was a lot of turbulence and stress going on between, you know, with the Black Zillions splitting up, and, you know, Glenn Robinson, and the strife between Henry Hooft and Neil Melanson. And it was just a lot of drama, you know. And Anthony tried to stay neutral in all of it, but, you know, one of his good coaches was Neil, and the other one was Henry, and they were on opposing sides. And you know, Glenn Robinson was upset about the whole situation as well, too, with Henry and everyone splitting off. So there was a lot of ego, a lot of childish behavior, a lot of things that really ruined Anthony's moment. You know, and that's one thing that my heart aches for Anthony, because he didn't get a chance to go out there and have the performance that he wanted or he could have had, because there's a lot of gymnasts. There's a lot of background noise. And dealing with what he dealt with, I can see why he walked away from the sport.
Sure.
Ah, the damn drama. It's like, sometimes it's like a nasty divorce and the fighters are caught in the middle, especially a nice guy like Anthony Johnson. That's crazy.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it. Like people don't understand there's more to fighting than just getting inside that octagon and squaring off with somebody for 15 to 25 minutes. No. There's more to fighting. There's a whole backstory. There's a whole story behind what happened in camp and how that fighter is going to perform on fight night.
Now, Rashad, since 2005, when you broke on the scene with the Ultimate Fighter season 2, you know, you won that season at heavyweight, and I was there live for that because we had Lou Cuomo fighting, and that would look like a damn monster movie when you were fighting Brad. What was his name? Brad
Hines.
Yes, man. I was gigantic, man. It looked awesome to watch because you were landing soup bones on him, and the guy was coming like Frankenstein. What a fun fight!
Yeah.
But you know, again, that feels like ages ago. That was back in 2005, and since then, you won the title, and you had such an amazing career and such great victories. You brought up that Chael Sonnen fight that you went in there and you made it look like a Gracie in action fight where you'd smoked them. Now, with all these great moments you were talking about before, your fear of being embarrassed, because that could happen to any one of us, whoever fought in the cage. Isn't it? Don't you feel it's worth the risk to feel those moments of those victories?
Yeah, I feel it's worth it. I feel it's worth it, because at the end of the day, you know, I came in this game with nothing. You know, I came in this game with nothing. And it's always been, you know, since the Ultimate Fighter, I told myself when I went to Ultimate Fighter, I was like, one more fight and I get to go home. One more fight and I get to go home. One more fight and I get to go home. And that's what I used to put it, you know, in perspective, so I can continue to fight without having to stress. And what I was doing was I wasn't letting the results dictate, you know, me going out there and performing. And each fight was a new fight. Each fight was a new opportunity, but I didn't get attached to it. I wasn't getting attached to it. And it's hard, and a lot of people say I should stop and I should quit, but I don't feel the quit inside me. I don't feel it inside me. And maybe one day I'll wake up one day and not be able to make the sacrifices that's necessary in order to compete with an up-and-coming fighter who's hungry like I was in the beginning, or who's hungry and wants to really make a name for himself. When I fail to be able to put myself through it and make the sacrifices necessary, then I'll decide that it's finished. I mean, by no means do I want to fool myself and to continue to get myself beat up and punch drunk and things like that, but, you know, I'm still in a place where I enjoy competing.
And
right now in this place, I feel like I can compete.
And you fought John Jones. I mean, you know, you went to you lost a decision to Jones. What did you think of the Cormier fight? Is Jones, when you watch him, I think you fought in 2012, so it's been a few years. When you watch him now, would you say this is the same fighter you faced, or do you see a tremendous difference in John now as opposed to when you faced him?
When I fought him, he would take a lot more chances, but now he's more cerebral, he's more calculated, and he seems to be more dangerous in a lot of areas. You know, one thing that he's got is just that belief in himself, you know. And even in that fight when DC was pushing the pace and right in front of him, he was throwing his best stuff at DC, and DC was pretty much walking through it. He didn't give in to his frustration. He didn't see any frustration on his face, and you know, he stuck with the plan. And eventually, one of those kicks that DC was knocking away made his way home. And you know, he looked like a god after that. But you know, he definitely, I think in that fight he's shown some vulnerabilities. But at the same time, I mean, he's been out for a while. But there's no doubt about it in my mind that I believe he's the best to ever put on the 4 month gloves.
Yeah, he is. It was tremendous. I was just wondering what you thought, because you had also fought him. Well, look, man, good luck in this fight against Sam Alvey, who's very tough, as you know, and he's a hard guy to figure out. So, you know, I know you're coming off three straight, but again, Chris Weidman just won after three straight. Holly finally won after, I think, three straight. So a lot of times people snap that streak. So I hope you do.
Yeah, good luck, yeah. Rashad.
Well, I hope I do, too. Say a prayer for me, man. I'm going to go out there and give it all he's got, man. That's it.
All right,
that's all I can do.
We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yeah, Rashad.
All right,
take care, man.
Later, champ. All right, man.
Good. He's a good dude. He's a really good dude.
I hope he does well. Man.
I do too, because I like him so much.
I think this game humbles you, man. You know what I mean? Like, it really does. And
humble you. I put you in camel clutch. You hear the Iron Cheek?
Yeah.
I humble you. I fuck your ass.
Whoa.
He says that.
He does say
yes,
that.
Yes. He's
the best. Hardcore. But, you know, I know the picture he's talking about. It's when he fought Lyoto Machida, and his eyes are in the back of his head. And it probably scares his children, man. It's a scary picture. And, you know, listen, I've seen me getting backfist a million times. That's how I broke on the scene. This game will humble you. And that's a chance that everybody that goes in that cage has a chance of. I listen, how about this? I remember when I went to go fight George St. Pierre, my wife wanted to go. At the time,
which fight
is on my phone?
Which fight? The first one?
My first one. And my wife wanted to go to the thing, and I wouldn't let her. We were engaged at the time. We got married a month after. And I wouldn't let her because I remember watching, it was actually, he fought George St. Pierre for Jehu Ron. And I remember the camera went right into the, when he beat down Jay bad. And when he was beating him down, you see in the audience, I think I don't know if they're married now, but at the time, Jay Huron's wife, just like you see her just break down, like just like you see, and it was like the camera like zoomed on him for some reason. Right. Whoever did that deserves to fucking get strangled. But I'm like, yo, that is just like, that girl might need therapy after that. I'm like, I don't want to do that to my wife. God, because that's a possibility. So I told her, I go, look, because I knew fighting George, it was a me or him thing. It wasn't like I'm going to win a decision. I'm like, it's either me or him. Somebody's getting taken out, and probably violently. Mostly, that's the way it's going to go down. So I told her I wouldn't let her go because, you know, there's a chance it could have been me. That's it.
Yeah,
it's
you're thinking story. Of her. You didn't want her to be fucked up over. Sure.
I wanted to go in there with zero fucks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What do you guys, are you guys, do you guys know sign language?
We got Sergio Pettis calling in right now.
Oh, he's calling right now?
Yes, that works out.
Good. Sergio.
Hey, what's up, brother?
Hey, buddy. You're talking to Matt Serra and Jim Norton. How are you?
What's up, Sergio?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. We were just talking. We literally just got off the phone with Rashad Evans. And how long ago did you get down there?
I got here last Thursday, so coming up on a week now.
Oh, you know, it's funny. Rashad said he went down 3 weeks early because, again, just to kind of get used to the... You don't feel like you need any more time to get used to the altitude?
Honestly, I feel pretty acclimated. Everything feels good. I mean, I did prepare a little bit in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and use some elevation machines. So, I mean, honestly, I'm out here feeling like pretty normal.
You do, and you have to obviously avoid certain beverages and things like that. But he said he got caught. Rashad said he got caught after maybe 3 days. He just ate or drank the wrong thing, and it fucked him up for about a week. Do you have any fear of that happening?
Honestly, I've been staying in the hotel, eating the hotel food, and making sure that I don't mess around out here. So honestly, I've been feeling pretty good. Nothing's affected me at all.
Oh, great. Do they advise you guys not to go out by yourself?
Yeah, they advise us to, you know, be careful, but I went out a couple of times. I feel pretty safe out here, man, honestly.
Sure. What'd you do? Did you just go out to a club or just go out, walk around and see the sights?
Yeah. I didn't go to the no clubs. I'm here for business, so sure. I just saw some sights, went to a couple local spots, Walmart and stuff, walked around the city. Felt pretty good.
Is there anything better when you're on the road than a 24-hour Walmart? Because it's like it's fucking 1 o'clock in the morning, you can go buy a DVD you're never going to watch. Like, oh, Men in Black 4, I'll buy that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, I just went to the water bottles, but I'll probably go back tonight, go grab some movies and stuff. You know, it's getting close to that weight cut time.
Oh, that's what you do when you're cutting weight? You just watch a lot of movies?
Yeah, well, just to chill out, you know.
What do you do
not
the night before?
About food.
Oh, sorry, Sergio. What do you, the night before, Rashad was talking about how he could actually sleep. Are you a good sleeper the night before the fight?
Yeah, but the night before the fight, I'm out. Usually once I get some carbs in me and some food in me, I'm out right away.
I thought Matt was going to jump in.
Hi.
Did you ever have, we've talked a lot recently about Tyron Woodley and the fact that he got booed and all that stuff. When you're fighting, do you ever think of what a fan reaction might be or like, hey, the fans are not enjoying this moment in the fight?
Yeah, I mean, there's times where I fought and I heard some boos too, and I'm like, oh, maybe I should push the pace or maybe I should do some. But, you know, for Woodley, I mean, that's a tough thing to do. Maya is such a great jiu-jitsu fighter. I pretty much fought him the same way Anderson Silva fought him. I mean, I guess fighting Maya, he's a deadly jiu-jitsu artist.
Now, do you think after he, and I know Woodley's your buddy and you guys both train with Duke Rufus.
Yes.
Strategically, he took away the takedowns. Do you think he should have been a little bit more aggressive with trying to hurt Meyer after that, whether it's going to the body or fainting, going to the head, whatever the case may be? Or do you think he was just content, or he should have been just content on just taking away Maya's offense?
Yeah, I mean, I think he did his task. I also know that he hurt his shoulder, I believe, in the second round. So, I mean, I don't know that, why he didn't kind of push the pace, but I think he approached the situation like a champion, man. I mean, he had to do what he had to do, and unfortunately, the fans weren't pleased. But any slip up, you know, Maya will take advantage of you.
And I think the shoulder thing is a huge thing. Like, I mean, if that shoulder was hurt, that's a total other conversation. You know what I mean? Compared to if it's not, I mean, so. You know, I mean, nobody knew that the night of the fight.
Sure.
So you got to give him some slack for that. You're taking away Damian Maia's takedowns with one arm. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, 100%.
Now, how do you feel with your brother, you know, getting, he's back in the, you know, he got that win. He got the monkey off his back.
He looked incredible.
I mean, is that motivation for you or what?
Oh, yeah, it's motivation, man. I mean, I saw the dedication that he put in towards that camp and just the stuff that he had to, I think, mentally have to break, you know, like just, going out there and not putting pressure on himself and going out there and flowing. And I mean, he looked great his last fight. He went out there and he performed to his capabilities and he looked like he was having a good time doing it.
Now, do you guys, what kind of relationship do you guys have with each other?
We live together. So, I mean,
oh, you do?
Yeah, we're very close. My best friend.
Oh, okay. That's really great to hear. And it's never competitive or anything like that. You guys just support each other.
I don't know. I mean, we're competitive, but, you know, just in different ways. He's like the most competitive guy I know. So we'll end up seeing who could drink the beer faster or who could, you know, like some dumb stuff. But yeah, he's always trying to compete with me.
And are you guys sticking with that whole thing as far as not fighting on the same card? I remember you did it once and you guys said you'd never do it again.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know. Am I getting that right or wrong, Sergio?
I mean, there was opportunities for us to find the same card, but, I mean, I'm not opposed to the you know, the situation. I think it'd be cool to fight in the same car as Anthony again. I think he just didn't want to have that, you know, that pressure. Last time we fought in the same car, I lost my fight. So I think that kind of played into his fight, which I don't know if that's true. I mean, you know, we have two separate fights. So, I mean, I don't mind fighting in the same car, but I think he's just got some, like, bad juju with it. So, you know, I'm letting him do his thing.
Well, you also don't want to watch the fight. Like, if you're fighting second on that card, it's probably harder. Because if you're fighting first, you're getting your fight done, and then you can watch the other fight and either feel shitty or enjoy it. But if you're fighting second, you have to watch all this and have all this emotional rush and then kind of get up for your own fight. And it might be more difficult to do that way.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, that's definitely probably kind of what happened that time. You know, I took a TKO loss, and probably definitely affected him. I mean, I was in the back, kind of down, obviously, and just pissed off. So, I mean, I could see why he wouldn't want to do it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's two separate fights. We both have to go out there and control our realities. And so, I mean, I think I'd be okay with it.
Well, your last fight versus John Moraga, I'll tell you, I felt you never looked better. I felt you really put it together. I believe that was in his hometown. Is that correct?
That was in Phoenix.
I mean, man, I mean, you didn't let that home court advantage get to you. And I remember the next day saying, man, you were just on point. Now, what do you, is that just you coming to your own in the octagon? Is it all that experience that you're from being in there, both, you know, whether it's a tough loss or, or you're, you know, all your experience being in there, is that just finally paying off or?
Man, I think, I personally think that I'm starting to apply a mindset, kind of, my career off, not with the mindset. I was just more happy to be in the UFC. Also, you know, put a lot of pressure on my shoulders. Being Anthony Pettis' younger brother, I kept thinking about that, and I kept applying more pressure to myself. And my last couple of fights, I've just been going out there and trying to be the best Sergio Pettis I can be. And, I'm falling in love with this process. I love martial arts. I love every aspect of it. And when I'm out there, I'm expressing myself now. I'm not this little shy kid. I'm out there expressing myself, showing my maturity as a martial artist, as an adult as well.
And what's your thoughts on Brandon Moreno? I mean, listen, like yourself, he's a young stud, you know, rising contender, I mean, in the flyweight division. What's your thoughts on him?
Moreno's good at what he's doing. He came in the UFC, made a big name for himself right away, 3-fight win streak, fought some top 10 competitors. Finished his fights. He's doing great, man. I'm excited to fight him. You know, he's a hard-working athlete just like myself. We're both young and hungry, and we both want that title shot. And, you know, Saturday we're going to see who really wants it more, and I believe I do.
Now, you know, Duke Rupus on Instagram posted a picture. He's kind of detailing the success of Rupus Sport, and he was listing upcoming fights, and there was something that included the line CM Punk versus TBA. Now, CM's teammate, was Duke fucking with people, or is there really a fight lined up?
Honestly, I don't even know, honestly. I really truly don't know the answer to that question.
All right, push one button for yes and two buttons for no. We'll understand what you're saying.
Yeah, man, honestly, I don't even know. I'd have to ask Duke. He's in the other room, so maybe I could stop by.
How was CM as a teammate? Because he's, you know, a lot of guys had good things to say about him, and some guys didn't. But I respected the fact that at 37, he kind of stepped in and was willing to train as hard as he had to when he was making a shitload of money in wrestling.
Well, none of his teammates said nothing bad.
No. Oh, I mean, okay. Not teammates. Yeah. I'm just saying people when you talk MMA or fighters. Yeah. No teammates.
Yeah, man. CM Punk, he's a hard worker, honestly. He was driving every day from Chicago to make practice in Milwaukee, about an hour and a half drive. And he's just a humble dude, man. He's really cool. And I like just the, like you said, I respect the fact that he was came from wrestling to, you know, fight. It's a whole different ball. Trying to do it, man. He's a dedicated athlete.
Did anybody ask CM why he didn't just get a hotel room for a couple of nights? Fucking driving 90 minutes each way. What a crazy person.
Yeah, I don't think he was feeling the Milwaukee vibes. It's a little different out there, but no, I think he's got a spot now in Milwaukee, like a little a condo or apartment that he comes for training camps.
And you know, you're number six, and I think Brandon's number seven. So you know, and if you say you have a very decisive and impressive win over him, do you think that puts you, how close to a title shot do you think that puts you?
I think it puts me up there. I know DJ was calling my name out, one saying that he'd rather have fought me than Roy Borg. So, I mean, I think that definitely puts my name a little bit more closer to that title shot. I don't know how the UFC is going to feel about it, but I think if I have an outstanding performance, that this could definitely put me in title contention.
Now, why did he say you and not Ray Borg? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Keep
going. Why did he say you and not Ray Borg? Because I don't know if I would take that as a good thing or a bad thing. Like, he thinks he'd have a better shot at you than Ray Borg. Why is that?
I think he said that just because I'm a more popular name than Ray Borg. You know, they're kind of giving him some shit about the whole Dillashaw situation. So I think he was trying to call out a bigger name in the fight. And he brought me up.
Now, divisions aside, how did you feel about that whole thing where they were trying to... I mean, I felt bad for Ray Borg just because they're saying, like, you know, he wanted to push you out of the way and put TJ. How did you feel about that when Cody got hurt and TJ said he wanted to fight DJ? And what did you feel was the right move there?
I mean, I think DJ, you know, took the right route. I mean, obviously, you know, Dillashaw would just jump in without having any fights at flyweight. Obviously, a bigger name. Never made the weight, but I think Borg, you know, deserves a shot. He's fought the fights at flyweight, and he's made his name through the rankings. I think it was a little crappy, you know, that they did that towards Ray Borg. You know, probably made him feel not so good, but you know, it is what it is, man. We got to build our brand, and he's got to build his brand to be a bigger brand, so that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a catch-22 because you don't want to jump the line. You don't want anybody just cutting in front, and you don't want the division to feel, like, I guess, disrespected by everyone being put in a back burner. But then again, the business is they have to get the most eyes on a fight, so it's, I guess, trying to find the balance in that.
Yeah, man, that's the hard part. You know, it's fighters, but we also got to be entertainers, and, you know, that's what it is, part of the game.
Well, you're fighting, you know, you're the main event. And what kind of pressure do you feel from the main event? Because you have to do the additional press and all the extra work that a lot of the other guys don't have to do.
I think I'm used to it, man. I came in the UFC with high expectations, and I had a lot of the press before. So, I mean, this is something that I'm used to. I've grown up in the sport, and I've grown up around the press now. And I feel comfortable, man. I don't feel uncomfortable at all out here. I mean, besides the fact that they're speaking Spanish, and I really don't speak Spanish that well, so that might throw me off a little bit. But other than that, I feel very comfortable out here. I feel like I'm going to go out there and have a breakout fight for Cesar Pettis.
Well, this UFC fight night is this Saturday, August the 5th, 10 p.m. from Mexico City, Mexico. And the FS1 prelims and the Fight Pass prelims is really, really good fights all night. So good luck, Sergio Pettis, number 6, fighting Brandon Moreno, number 7. So this is a very, very important fight for either one of you guys because it definitely pushes one of you down and one of you up probably at least 2 notches.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me, man. Make sure you guys tune in August 5th. It's going to be a hell of a performance.
Absolutely. Take care, Sergio. Good luck.
Take care, Serge.
Thank you.
Be good.
Right. Thank you, Matt. Peace.
Take care,
man. Nice dude. I'm surprised you only went there. Well, like Rashad goes there 3 weeks early, and he goes there like 5 days, 6 days early. That's pretty impressive.
This kid's wind has never been a problem, you know, and he said he was up in Albuquerque, right?
But even for Kane, it was a problem. If you remember when Kane went and fought, that was that Fabricio Verdum?
Yeah.
Like, that was a problem for Kane, whose cardio is never an issue.
Yeah, Verdum was there for like a month. Verdum moved down there pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, but this kid, he's looking great at 23. Look how mature that kid is.
I know, and he's got
43. I'm an asshole.
You're not an asshole. You're just a silly goose.
I am silly, Jimmy.
Isn't he, I want to say he's 15-2 at his age, and he's 23? That's a tremendous amount of fights. 17 fights by the time you're 23 is a lot of fights.
I dropped the ball when you asked me if I, fuck it. You know what it was? Sometimes I'm about to say something, and then you go, oh, I thought Matt was going to say something, and I was. Oh,
I did, I don't like
But then by the time that happened, like in my head, I had the question, and then there's like a midget on a tricycle. I don't know what goes on in my head.
Jot it down. I jot down thoughts all
I
the
should
time.
Do that.
He threw his pen at me, though. He couldn't.
Oh, hold on.
I have to do that to get your attention.
Yeah, you did. Hold on. I can take it down.
Oh, look at you writing
Boom.
Something.
Pen. Tell Chris pen. I just say I wrote that down.
No, there you go.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, no, I didn't know what I was saying. So it's one of those, I think Matt and I do pretty good without bumping into each other, but once in a while, like again, being in the room, you could see. And at one point, I thought Matt was going to talk.
No, I think I gave you the signal where I wanted to say something. And then you looked at me, and I'm like looking off at the space.
The signal Matt gives, I don't know if you guys can tell, he does this. He hits the table.
Did you everybody like, hear it?
It's distracting, but
yeah,
that means Matt wants to ask.
I haven't seen a movie in a while. I want to go see a movie.
I want to see Baby Driver.
What?
I hear Baby Driver.
What is it about?
A bank robbery. I hear it's very good.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. We had Doug Benson in today, actually. And we talked movie.
He's did he give you any weed?
He did not. I don't partake.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not a marijuana smoker. Yeah. I'm a good person.
Yeah, I'm a good person.
Well.
Why don't you think I'm a good person?
Because you're a druggie.
You think I'm a druggie?
Well, maybe not.
All right. I never did any hard drugs.
No, me neither.
Never.
Well,
I never even tried cocaine.
I lied. I did a few.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't judge you.
I did cocaine.
I don't judge you. I don't judge you on anything. You
shouldn't. I hope not.
Fuck.
You wouldn't be able to look at me.
I don't think we'd be doing this podcast.
No, not at all. It's all crack pipes of different size and consistency. All right.
Jimmy, let me tell you, we have such a good time in here.
I love this podcast so much. And I do. I have so much fun doing this.
We're touching people. No, we're not. Well, we're reaching people. Like that one I read before, that little message.
Yeah.
I also read another one today. Someone called me a fat midget.
It's not what I meant.
Fucking asshole. Sarah, you're a midget. I don't think it was a fat midget. I think I was.
They would never say that to your face.
Projecting.
Though. They would never say that to your face. How are your calves?
Oh, they're powerful.
Yeah, they really are.
So are my Camorras. I got some off today.
Good, good.
Oh, it was fun, Jimmy.
Matt comes in glowing. I always know when Matt's gotten laid and strangled somebody.
Both? This morning, both.
Yep.
Not at the same time.
No, not at all.
No, I spread it out. Okay. You know, my wife, so she's a giver.
Yeah,
because you know I didn't wake her up this morning. You know, I was going to leave. She's like, "Oh, I thought you wanted to." Because you know I just got back from LA and I haven't gotten action in a little bit. So she knows I'm pent up. It's like my eyeballs are floating. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Not with pee pee.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So anyway, so I had to get something out. So she hooked me up. Want a quickie? Yes. It's not even. Shouldn't even be a question.
Yeah.
Do you want a quickie? What am I? No. You think I'm going to say no, Jimmy?
No. Why would you?
Fuck. Because I'm an animal. So anyway, I got that done quick, and listen, I went, I trained a little bit. It's the same story, Jimmy. Same story, different day.
Different day.
You checked out already, didn't
Not at
you?
All. I'm right here with you, buddy.
All right. Anyway, did Doug Benson give you anything to give to me?
Did not.
All right. Jimmy, we're going to have to get out of here. What else do we want to talk about? Anything else?
No, we covered everything, hopefully we'll have John. We're trying to get John on the show next week because he's going to be in New York. We might even tape on a different day. Nobody gives a shit. I'm just telling you that. We would love to have John on the show in studio after such an amazing win and an amazing time in his life. We talked, you know, he had a real kind of shitty times for a couple of years. And you can see he's just high right now. He's feeling so good. He's just on top of the world. So good for John and good for DC to kind of make a statement. Hopefully his head's in the right place because he's such a good guy. And tune into Fight Night this Saturday night, 10 o'clock. Brandon Moreno against Sergio Pettis is going to be great. And of course, Sam Alvey against our pal Rashad.
What's going on over at the Borgata?
I'm doing my shows. I got two shows on Saturday, but you go to the early show. This way you can still watch the fights. Come to the early show at the Borgata this Saturday. Yeah.
I love the fights.
I do too.
Yeah, that's why it's good we're doing this podcast.
And that's why it's good because we get that fight pass that's the best. Because a lot of times I come in, I don't watch the fights on time. I roll in at midnight. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch the fights. And I do.
You know how many times I watch? I watch Aljo's fight like three times, four times.
I did.
I'm proud of Aljo Sterling.
So good.
I mean, he's a good man. He's a good person.
He is.
I'm proud of him. All right. All right, guys. Listen to me. We could do this all day, but we're not.
Yeah.
Are you going to Penn Station?
I am. I'm going to tinkle.
All right.
And we're going to go to the
Maybe
subway.
We'll have another guy give us like a green balls. That's your... Hey, Chris, the producer, you're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
Don't
say
give nothing to you. Yeah.
I'm going to... punch him. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, good play with your balls. All right, we're out of here.
Bye-bye.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up?
because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.